I'm Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church. This week we get to talk about adventure. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. That's what I want. Not a lone cough in the background. We get to talk about adventure, and adventure is one of those things where I think the church kind of screws up a little bit. Screws up quite a bit. We get to talk about adventure, and what is adventure? What is adventure? Anybody know what adventure is? Stepping outside your comfort zone. Yeah. Anything else? Having fun. Anything else? Dying of cholera in a third world country. That is adventurous. I don't know if that makes my definition of, but yes, exactly, man. Dying of cholera in a third world country. Anything else? Trying something new. Being scared. Anything else? Exploring. Here's what we have to say about adventure on our website. You guys ready? Adventure. Taking risks with God in relationships and service. Exploring spiritual growth together, no matter where a person begins. Embracing the unpredictable nature of life in the kingdom of God. Does that sound like adventure? So if that sounds like adventure, how are you doing it, living that out? You guys want to hear some of my story? Okay, cool. Literally, you look through Scripture, you look through everybody else's story, and it seems kind of like a far-off, unattainable thing sometimes, doesn't it? You look at people like Noah, who built this gigantic boat that housed all of these animals, and then the earth flooded. You look at people like Moses, who freed the entire Israelite nation by going head-to-head with a king. You look at people like Abraham, who was told by God to just up and move his entire family and everything that he was doing and go through all these foreign lands. Some of that stuff seems a little unattainable, doesn't it? It seems a little far off from reality. So I'll tell you some of my story. My story goes like this. You guys ready? It's so adventurous. About 2008, I have been sitting dormant from graduating Bible college for 2 years. And so I am sitting there not utilizing what I felt God had called me to and what God had educated me for, and I started to get a little edgy. And so all of this starts to culminate and come to a head, and my wife and I remember very specific one night we had an argument, and we were getting a little edgy with each other, and she said, "I don't know why you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing." And I think with tears I said, "You know, I don't either." And I told her, "What scares the hell out of me is that I feel that God's calling me to be a missionary." And you should have saw her face. She got scared. Somebody said being scared, right, for adventure? So 2008 happens, and not long after we have this conversation about God working through us and God doing what he needs to do through us, it was a total ordained thing. It was totally a God thing that he then calls me into this weird work called church planting. And so 2008, I get a phone call, and I get a guy on the other end named Chad Hallback, who I had never met before, saying, "Hey, would you be interested in meeting with me? There is a music position that I would like to talk to you about here in Laramie, Wyoming." The only thing I knew about Laramie, Wyoming is my metal band that I was in at the time yes, metal is awesome. For those of you questioning, the metal band that I was in at the time, we played a battle of the bands at the library bar across from the university, which is now O'Dwyer's. And it started snowing like crazy. And they shut the interstates down on us in Cheyenne. And so we got off on a little country road and then got back on the interstate past the bar so we could drive on the interstate. That's how metal we were. So that's my only experience with Laramie, and it wasn't that favorable of an experience because the Battle of the Bands was kind of a shady thing. So that was my first experience with Laramie. We ate at Sherry's. We had pie that night. It was fantastic. Any employees of Sherry's, I'm sorry. Your pie is fabulous, I'm sure. But that's my first impression of Laramie. And so Chad Hallback, this man who I have never met, calls me and said, would you be interested in church planting? I said, I don't even know what that is, really. But let's meet. I'll be in Cheyenne playing at a worship youth conference. So let's meet there. And he and I met, and I can't even really tell you what our conversation was. I can't even tell you what that was. But whatever that first meeting was, it clicked. And we knew that this was something that we needed to pursue together on both ends. And so I said, yes, I guess I'm interested. What do we need to do now? And the organization that planted us, they have literally like a 50-page application about character references, about your life in depth, about your life as how you became a Christian, how you met Jesus, how you've continued to live your life out since that time. And it's really kind of funny story because I didn't really have anything shiny to put on that application. By the questions that they were asking, I wasn't really able to say much to it. And so I filled out this application as honest as possible, and I got done filling it out, and I looked at it, and I said, I wouldn't hire me, because I'm not selling myself really well. So I sent off the application. I said, okay, God, you know, this is the next step. And this application doesn't just go through the lead planter. It goes through a whole board at the planting organization called NPEA, Northern Plains Evangelistic Association. And they exist to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. That's their main goal. And they plant in really weird places like Laramie, Wyoming. Most church planting organizations will go and plant in Denver, Colorado, because there's a lot of people there. So there's a higher chance of your church being a success and growing fairly fast within the first few years. Not everybody comes to rural communities like this and plants in a town of 30,000. That's just not the norm with church planting organizations. NPEA hasn't figured that out yet. So they they plant in these towns and say good luck. So we come to a part where I get a call from Chad Hallback again and said, hey man, we looked at your application. Yeah, you don't look great, but we want you anyway. The other guy must have withdrew, I don't know. But they look at the application and they say, you know, there are some concerns, there are some glaring errors, but we think you're the guy. And so from that point on, my adventure has started. From that point, up until that point, I had lived a very, very, very comfortable Christian walk. I kid you not, I came from a house that had a white picket fence. I had a Great Dane. I had a beautiful son. Let's say handsome. Is he in the audience today? Thaddeus, you're handsome. You're not beautiful, okay? I had this amazing wife, and life was good and undisturbed. And what I was able to do with my Christianity was I would go to church on a Sunday morning, I would play guitar on the band, and I'd leave. And that was about my dedication to the church that I came from. I may have attended a small group, which is just groups of people that get together to meet midweek. I may have done that, but even when I was doing that, I hated it. I didn't care for it. Wasn't that fun? And so up until 28, that was pretty much my entire comfortable church existence. Does it sound like anybody else? So adventure wasn't really to be had, what I was doing, the way I was doing it, up until about 28. So 28 years old, God calls me and my family to this ministry in Laramie, Wyoming, to this ministry that wasn't even a ministry. When I first came, we were meeting in a living room. We were meeting in a living room on couches, and our first two people were middle-aged women. Somebody's laughing. Are middle-aged women funny? I don't know. But no, I thought that was funny. I'm sitting there, and the church I came from was a larger church, 500 to 700 people at the time. And so I came to this living room with two middle-aged women, and I thought, this is weird. This is odd. This isn't what I envisioned church being. This isn't what I envisioned us doing. Let me back up. I skipped a whole step in this process. Can I do that? Will you forgive my terrible storytelling? The application is accepted. And I said, now what? What do we need to do? And the pastor, Chad Hallback, said, you need to raise $45,000. Because you need to pay your own salary, is what he was telling me, for the next 3 years. And so the organization, NPEA, that plants churches, they come to the board, they come to the table with half of that, and you need to come to the table with the other half. And so I said, okay, well, this sounds fun. This sounds great. How do you raise $45,000? And this happened in July, June, somewhere around that. You remember, Larry? It was June. They hire me in July. They want me there in August, and the church launches in September. And so I'm the last man to be hired. I'm the last guy to figure any of this out. So Chad calls me, and he's telling me, you need to raise this money now. Uh-huh. You are now a professional beggar. And you are not begging for a dollar here or 50 cents there or even a meal. You're begging for 3 years of salary. So I turned into this professional beggar, and I watched God work in that. And I met face-to-face with a lot of people in my hometown and my home church. Even the doctor that I worked for, she found out what I was doing, and she was the very first supporter I had, even before my parents, which was interesting. And she said, I was saved in a ministry much like what you're going to. I'm in. And so I watched this, and within a week and a half to 2 weeks, I called Chad and I said, hey, I've got the money raised. And he said, what do you mean? You got like half of that or what? I said, no, the whole 45 is done. Like, what do I need to do now? And there was just silence on the other end. He thought I was lying. He thought I was joking. And so you watch God from that point on. He opens this door and kicks my family and I through it. Now, here's the kicker. My wife was about 6 months. Help me out, baby. Where are you at? Every time I give dates or a timeline, she schools me at home. No, that didn't happen then. I wasn't that. We weren't that old. How pregnant were you? She was due in November, and we moved in August. We came here on August 15th. Now, what we did was I was working for a hospital, had a really good paying job. She was a beautician, is still a beautician here in town. She is a beautician in Scotts Bluff, making really great money. I'm making really good money. I'm getting insurance through my job. And God calls us out of all of these things, this white picket fence, this Great Dane, this everything, and says, pack up your family and move. So that means I come to a church that's not existent. I became a professional beggar within 2 weeks. I got good at it. It's amazing what people will give you if you buy them a cup of coffee. No, I got your coffee, man. I need $10,000 from you. You know? It's pretty incredible. So, coffee makes the world go round. So I turned into this professional beggar. Within 2 weeks, my wife is pregnant with our son. We leave from insurance and security. We take a huge cut in salary and money. I think to the tune of $50,000 is what we accounted for. That God said, leave, go. We move here, there's no insurance. We're pregnant. We have no insurance for our firstborn or us or anything. So we start going through the loops and the hoops of the hospital. The first thing we do is check into the hospital, and they said, do you have insurance? And we said, no. And they said, you got to go to this room and figure out how to pay for all this stuff then. And we'll put you on a payment plan today, and you will cut us the first check today. And so we watch all of this happen as a result of this story, and literally within 2 or 3 months, our adventure just kicks off. And I'd love to tell you that it stopped after that first few months. I'd love to tell you that God had left us alone and we went back to our white picket fence and our Great Dane and everything else. But that never happened. God continues to call us into crazier and crazier adventures. That seems a little more close to home than Scripture with what Noah does in building a boat, right? That seems a little closer to home than what Moses did in saving an entire nation. It's a little closer to home than what Paul did in dying for his faith, right? No. It's not. It's the exact same thing. And what I find is when you make yourself available to God, and that's literally what happened at 28 years old, as my wife and I are having that conversation, and she's saying, I don't know what you're doing. You're not doing anything. You're just treading water. You're just pedaling in the same place. And I said, I don't know. I don't know either, you know. But I just kept pedaling and hoping I'm going to get somewhere further, which is, anybody ever ride their grandma's stationary bike? Are stationary bikes still a thing? I've never been to a gym in my life, so I don't know if this is an actual thing or not. All you CrossFitters can take me out. You're way stronger. But I just kept pedaling and pedaling and pedaling on this stationary bike I called my salvation, and I never got anywhere. And then things start coming to a head, and I start feeling edgy, and I start feeling, you know, things aren't really where they're supposed to be. And God's saying, you're right, man, you're not moving. What's our mission statement here? Whitewater is a community persistently moving the world 2 steps closer to Jesus. I was persistently stationary. Not moving myself, not moving my family, not moving those around me anywhere. And I find it funny that God calls someone as stagnant as me to come to Laramie and plant a church. I find it interesting that I would even answer something like that, or I would even say, you know what, yes. But prior to all that, I was starting to get edgy. I was starting to say, you know, this faith thing is okay, but what? It's not much to it. And that's true if all you're doing is coming and sitting on a Sunday morning. That's true if all you're doing is leaving these doors and going home to the same stationary bike that I was riding and expecting change. So you see adventure take many forms. You see adventure take forms in my life as leaving everything behind, much like Abraham, and coming here to a foreign place where I didn't know anybody. And trying to make a church go and grow and be sustainable. But not a church like what I came out of. And maybe that's it. Maybe God took my stagnant life and gave me such a disdain for it that he said, you're the guy to lead this because you know it best. You know what people need to fight against best. Maybe he uses my apathy and my laziness and my indifference when it comes to how churches and church should be. So adventure, it plays out in many different ways. Joel, yours is probably the most extreme. I love it. I love Joel. Joel has a very unique mind. A very brilliant, now it's not a dig at him either. That's the truth. Joel has a unique mind and a unique view on life and things, and I love getting to talk with him. If you don't know who Joel is, you should get to know Joel. Joel is an introvert, and he's hating that I'm saying this right now, but you will value your time with Joel. But adventure takes its form in many different ways, and there again, it's not all of this grand expression. It's not all of this incredible mountaintop experiences. My wife and I've been asking my family, my sons and my wife, what they feel, you know, or what their idea of adventure is, or what their idea of community is, or what their idea of what does it look like to move two steps closer. And my wife instantly said, well, it's like the movie Walter Mitty. Have you guys ever seen that? It's like this dude that just is on some dating website. That's it. It's crazy. Dating websites are crazy. This is a joke. Okay, whatever. He's like on this dating website, but his life is very mundane, and everything he does is very mundane, but in his mind, he takes these incredible adventures, and he lives so dangerously and recklessly, but in reality, he's sitting working behind a desk. And so you see this adventure, you see this life of Walter Mitty unfold, and you see the person that he daydreams to become. And at the end of the movie, it ends up being that his life is adventure. That what he does at his desk can be adventure. That what he does with the people around him is, in fact, and can be and should be adventure. And I think so much we tame this life that we call Christianity down to showing up on a Sunday morning. There's an author named Alan Hirsch. If you want to hurt your brain, read Alan Hirsch. He doesn't know what a one and two syllable word are. He uses 5 to 10, and that's just a substitute for the word and. It's crazy. This guy just doesn't quit with the words. But he says this, a Christian community inspired to overcome their instincts to huddle and cuddle, and to instead form themselves around a common mission. What's our mission here? To move what two steps closer? And instead form themselves around a common mission to move the world persistently two steps closer to Jesus, that calls them into a dangerous journey to unknown places. A mission that calls the church to shake off its collective securities and to plunge into the world of action, where its members will experience disorientation and marginalization, but also where they encounter God and one another in a new way. The people that we started this church with, there was families that are still here today. Campbells, Andrews, Hendersons. Who else am I missing? Christine Stimson, yes. There's very few of us still here today that started this church 6.5 years ago as we were meeting in the high school. But collectively, it's been interesting to watch what has happened to us in 6.5 years together. Many of the stories that you will hear from a lot of people that have moved here share the same story of God told us to get rid of everything and move here. God told us to leave our home is one of the stories for some of our people, and they continue to pay on this home that they don't live in a different part of the country because they want to pay the price to be here. But I tell you, that hasn't always been the case. There's been a lot of times where all of us at some point in our journey here together have said it was easier when. I'd love to hop back on that bike and just pedal stationary. Because there was comfort in that. The scenery never changed. I got used to my surroundings. There were no rocks. There were no hills. There were no danger of falling off. I could just pedal. But every single one of us has said at some point in this journey in 6.5 years that, you know, it was easier when. I'd love to go back there. My wife and I often talk. I said, man, this is great, and this is just what we needed. You know, our life wasn't what it should have been in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. And there's been times where she said, I thought our life was pretty good. And there was truth to that. It was good in a way, but not in the way that we're experiencing now. And so all these people come together and they sell out and they're doing a lot of the same stuff. God's called them to leave everything behind. God's called them to leave what they've built up over years in their life. We've got people in leadership here that have retired early because God told them to. We get to share life with these people. And if you're in contact with these people and you're hearing these stories and hearing how God changes them and what God's calling them to do, it's not going to be long before you're starting to say, hey, where's mine? Where's my adventure? Where's my story? We've got people who are called out into retirement early, which means they take a huge cut in their retirement benefits, but God said, you know what? You're not working for the benefits. You're working for me. Does that sound like adventure? Does that sound like a hard thing to do? We've got people who have been told specifically by God that they need to get rid of everything they have and sell everything they have and get ready to move and get ready to go. And I watch these people make these preparations and I watch these people do what God's asking them to do, and God hasn't called them out. And it's been a years in the making kind of a thing and a years in the making kind of a story. And I watch and I say, God, what is this? I pray with anticipation, you know, what should happen? What's going to happen? And sometimes the lesson is, are you listening? Will you do what I've asked you to do? We've got people in this audience that God has said very specifically, you need to get out of debt. Okay, why do I want to get out of debt? Not so you can amass money, but so you can help better in this community. So that you can take responsibility and be the change here in this community with your finances. Does that sound like adventure? Not all of this is a boat-building experience. You've got people in this audience who have been called very specifically by God that they need to adopt. And so they adopt. And they hear they should adopt again. And then they hear through their first son that they adopted that, no, we're supposed to adopt two. I'm praying for two kids. No, you're not. We're going to change that prayer right now. And so what happens? Two kids are available for adoption, which doesn't really happen in the adoption world in this way. A brother and sister. And they make preparations and they go and are faithful to what God calls them to. So adventure, what does adventure look like in your life? It can be going to a third world country and dying of cholera. It can be, and it is. And I praise God for those people. I was trained in school, in Bible college. All of my professors were on the mission field. And you want to talk about crazy life experience? That's one of the most valuable things I had from all the professors that I had was they didn't just see a tame God. They saw a God that was just moving and shaking and changing people's lives in some of the most miraculous, some of the most, dare I say, charismatic ways you've ever seen. They were seeing the Holy Spirit firsthand. And they're changing the world. But we live in Laramie, Wyoming. For now. So how are you living a life of adventure that reflects taking risks with God and relationships and service? You know why we shake hands every Sunday morning? It's to get you guys in relationship with one another. There are incredible stories in this room of adventure. There are incredible stories in this room of heartbreak. There are incredible stories in this room of how God is moving you and me from stagnant, stationary bike riders to creatures that live out adventure. And it starts by literally listening to what God's asking you to do. Some of the stuff I've been asked to do by God is buy someone dinner across the room from me that God will just put on my heart. Many of you have probably had some of those thoughts. I honestly believe it's God talking to you. I believe it's Holy Spirit promptings. And there's been times where I've rejected those promptings and I've said, no, I'm not going to do those things. I don't feel like it. Man, I don't want to have the conversation if the waitress turns and points and says, that's the guy that did it over there. And have that weird, awkward, why would you buy my lunch? And then there's times when I am faithful to what I hear from God in some of those situations. And these people come up grateful, dumbfounded, excited. And they don't know why. Other than a really scary looking prison inmate just bought their lunch. Maybe that's why they're excited. A little scared. Maybe they're on an adventure just coming to talk to me, I suppose. I don't know, but we take risks with God and relationships and service. Do you know why we do moving ministry? We talked about this a little bit. It's because we really like to move people. Do you know in some of these moving ministry situations we get in, it is very much a hoarding situation? And we have a group of people that will go in and grab your stuff no matter how much animal urine is on it. I don't know why animal urine makes me want to cry. No matter how much animal urine or animal feces is on your furniture, on your clothes. And these people will gladly move you. Because they just like moving your stuff. No, it's because God's called them into something greater than themselves. A mission beyond a pedal bike, a stationary pedal bike. There's ministries that provide wood for anybody that needs it to heat their home. And the ministry isn't free, it costs money. But the people that do this ministry gladly provide the means and the funds so that other people will have heat. The means and the funds, the backbreaking labor that it takes to make this stuff happen outside of their 60, 70, 80 hour a week job. Because it's something they heard from God was a need. It was something that they heard from God that they could have, much like me, sitting at a table saying, buy that man's food, and I say no. They could have said, no, man, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. There are things that we do very intentionally here to engage you in this life of adventure at Whitewater. There are things that, as Alan Hirsch calls them, involve adventure and movement. And he describes that unique experience of togetherness that only really happens among a group of people inspired by a vision of a better world, who actually attempt to do something about it. So the mission that we have of a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus is what we ask you to get behind. What this is going to do, and I want to just call it what it is call you out of your comfort zone. What this is going to do is rock your world. Is that still a reference? Or is that like an 80s and 90s thing? What this is going to do is turn your world upside down. What this is going to do is tell you things about your life that you're not going to enjoy, things about your life that you're going to look at and say, man, that sucks. What this is going to do is force you into community with those who you don't trust. What this is going to do is force you into community with those who don't look like you, talk like you, smell like you, live life like you. Adventure is hard. The man that I called the pumpkin earlier is an adventurer of the highest caliber, aren't you, buddy? This dude, he sees the thermometer drop below 40 below, and he says, let's go tent camping in the mountains. This guy's hardcore. Is adventure easy? How about mountain climbing? Is that easy? See, I've never been to a gym, and I've never really done anything physical, so I'm asking honestly. Mountain climbing, not easy. Takes training, right? Takes getting your muscles going, right? Takes knowing some things to be able to survive. And so God today is calling you and has been calling you, for those of you who have known him and continue to stay on your stationary pedal bike, much like myself, for many, many years, he's calling you off of that thing. He's calling you to live a life taking risks with God in relationships and service. He wants you to take risks and adventure and exploring spiritual growth together, no matter where a person begins. That's sometimes hard, isn't it? Spiritual giants in the room? Anybody? Where's the cough there? Sometimes it's hard to take, you know, our life experience and the things that God has done and actually stop and think, you know, there's people around me that are just new to this thing. There's people around me that need to hear some of my experience from when I was in their shoes. And so we got to get all these people from different walks of life and different parts of their faith journey, their faith walk. And we got to live life with them. We got to do more than just shake their hands on a Sunday morning. We got to talk about what God's doing. We got to talk about failures. We got to talk about successes. We got to talk about life together, right? That's what adventure does. Adventure is embracing the unpredictable nature of life in the kingdom of God. I met with my buddy Kevin, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago. And we were talking, and I can't even remember the question he asked, but it was something about how do you deal with this certain life circumstance, this certain life situation. And I remember just pausing and reflecting, and I said, Kevin, it's because God has done a good job of getting me away from the shore of safety and comfort of life. And instead of allowing me to just sit at a place in the water on a boat, seeing shore and seeing safety and comfort, he drew me further and further, further and further, further out until I couldn't see anything. And he said, this is where you're supposed to be. And I don't know, as I've grown comfortable in that area of life, I don't know as I've grown comfortable in that position But talk about embracing unpredictable nature of God and letting him determine what happens instead of my say of, well, I can see shore, so I'm going to do things and operate out of that safety net there. He pulls all of that away from me and says, watch me work. And be faithful to what I call you to. Be faithful to what I ask you to do. And that, my friends, is adventure. It involves adventure and movement, and it describes that unique experience of togetherness that only really happens among a group of people, you and me, Whitewater, here today, inspired by a vision of a better world who actually attempt to do something about it. Will you attempt to do something about it today? Will you attempt to get behind the vision of Whitewater, of a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to who Jesus is? This mission statement isn't just about you. It's about everybody that you come in contact with. It's about your family. It's about your work. I made a comment last week about you come to church and you smile and you say all the right things and then you go to your job and you become a seething troll. Your workplace is an adventure. God calls you to something different than that. Your Facebook page is an adventure. I've seen some of your Facebook pages. The adventures that you guys are on are awful. And not in a good, awful way either. They're some of the most degrading adventures you could possibly have. You guys are seething trolls on that too. And so God calls you to embrace this adventure, this life in the kingdom. It's actually called life, true life. So will you embrace that this morning? Will you get behind that mission of persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus? Feedback is good. Will you? Trying is awesome. You're doing more than trying. What's the House Bill 17? I follow you. I know. We got people changing the world in politics who are not politicians. Aaron's one of them. We've got people who represent IJM members here who are changing the world through politics and making sex slavery hopefully a thing of the past. Or at least trying to. Yeah. So when you try to live a life of adventure, I guarantee you it will happen. So let's start with trying, shall we? Will we all try to live a life of adventure? Okay. It's going to start by you guys listening to what God has to say about who you are and how you should be and how you operate. When you hear those things, don't ignore it. However small, don't ignore it. Embrace it and see what kind of adventure God puts you on. God, we love you. We thank you for the adventure of life. We thank you for the adventure of all the people that have paved the way for us. We talked about Moses. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham. We talked about all these people of the faith, Paul. God, but what about us? That adventure didn't stop with those people. That adventure didn't stop with the telling of those stories through Scripture. No, that adventure continues. You continue to speak, you continue to mold, you continue to shape, you continue to change the world. God, and our part in that is you allow us to be a part of that. You allow us life experience, you allow us the opportunity to join in you. You allow us that opportunity through your son Jesus, who went on his own adventure and was faithful to what you had told him to do. God, you allow us to partner with that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was sent after Jesus rose from the dead and went to be with you. God, thank you for allowing us that opportunity and forgive us Forgive me when we squander that opportunity. God, when we tell you no, or when we turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. God, we want to be a people who live a dangerous life, a life of adventure. If it's dying of cholera in the third world country, so be it. If it's changing the world in our workplace, so be it. If it's being loved to those that make us uncomfortable, so be it. If it's being in community where we want to be introverted and not spend the time sharing stories and life experiences, so be it, God. Together, we want to move. We want to be that community that persistently moves the world two steps closer to Jesus and what he did and what he taught and what he displayed. And if we're all pulling that way together, God, we know that you're going to bless it. We know that you're going to grow it. We know that you're going to bring the adventure. So God, thank you for the people that sit in this room today who have embraced adventure. God, thank you for the people in this room today that will embrace adventure. God, thank you for the people in this room today that will try to embrace adventure as a part of their lifestyle, as a part of their life in the kingdom, as a part of their life in the world, as a part of their life here at Whitewater. God, you are awesome, and you give us incredible stories to tell. May we always tell them. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Adventure. Go have one.